Kirk has a 3-month vacation. He's calling it his tour across America. If it's all the same to you, I'll drive that tanker. And now that I've completely butchered an Australian accent from an undisclosed secret bunker.
G'day, I'm Merc, and welcome to episode 203, which is, quite ironically, coming to you from Balticon 43, here in Hunt Valley, in the state of Maryland. Now, let me tell you that this is my first convention of any type. They normally don't have, like, train driver conventions. On Twitter, I always see people at various social media and tech conventions, but, you know, there's no such thing as a convention for a normal train driver. So this is a bit of a new experience for me, apart from the fact that it is actually a science fiction convention. Now, let me say, I am not the biggest Star Trek fan in the world, and I know Drew, the co-host, basically said to me when I told him I was thinking of going to this event, "Dude, why are you going to this event? You know, you're not heavily into, you know, the science fiction compared to what he is." And that's a fair call. However, when you go through the program, it's not only about science fiction and people dressed up as Darth Vader or people dressed up as an Ewok. Mind you, there have been some people in some interesting costumes. It's about writing. And yes, I'm not a writer. But some of the things that are about writing also are very relevant in terms of podcasting. And there's also many, many podcasters here, and podcast authors and writers. And during this particular episode, we'll be hearing from, hopefully, many of them. I've seen some already, and there's some that I haven't seen, but there will be a lot of different people on this particular episode. Of course, you can go to www.channelerk.com, or you can email me, erkpod@gmail.com, and follow me on Twitter, of course, at erkpod. So, what's happened so far? So far, I have been to a couple of different sessions. There was one that I've just come out of in relation to WordPress. There's been a couple of podcasting sessions that I've been to, a couple of social media sections. And there's actually so much to see. You have to really plan what you are going to see and where you're going to be. To me, there's basically the science fiction side of things, there's the writing side, and then there's the podcasting and social media side. So without any further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy the many various voices from Balticon 43 coming to you at the moment from the main lobby of the Marriott Hotel. Okay, coming to you from Balticon 43, the first cab off the rank is Tyler. Hello, Tyler, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
I'm doing excellent. Now, I sat in on one of your sessions yesterday. What session did I sit in on?
It would have been Podcasting 101.
Which, to me, I've been doing over 200 episodes, so maybe Podcasting 101 wasn't good for me. But having said that, I do learn things and...
Everyone's always learning.
And, you know, it's good to meet up with other podcasters as well. So why don't you tell us briefly about your show?
Well, I do RangerCast at rangercast.net. It's a podcast about Power Rangers and, like, various, like, live-action Japanese tokusatsu shows. Tokusatsu generally means, like, superhero shows. I mean, as far as I take it, technically it means Godzilla 2, but let's not go there. I go to conventions. We talk about recent episodes. We review them. We make fun of each other. We spend most of the time goofy around, but it's really fun. I've gone for about... Actually, I just put out episode number 123 last night, and I've traveled to Chicago, Los Angeles, all over the place, covering conventions. It's just been, you know, a wild ride.
Actually, you're a good bloke to talk to because this is my first convention and my first time at Balticon, so what can I expect?
You mean out of the convention scene?
Yeah. We don't tend to have many of these conventions in Australia compared to over here.
Because most of the people are...
over here.
Yeah, overseas or wherever. I mostly... this is the only real sci-fi convention I go to. I spend most of my con time at anime conventions. There's this really big one in Baltimore called Otakon. I actually know of a good contingent of Aussies who actually come up for that. It's like 25,000 people downtown, just, 15 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And they basically take over a good chunk of the city.
No, that's cool. So what can I expect?
Oh, just what can you expect from just this con?
Yeah.
Well, you can expect pretty quiet, pretty tight-knit. I mean, it's a really great way to interact with your favorite writers, artists, podcasters, on a really tight-knit level, where a lot of the larger cons, like Dragon Con, God help you.
Yeah.
Because it's just a massive humanity.
And so this is really good to sort of...
oh, yeah. I mean, I spend... because I'm not really that much into a lot of the science or a lot of the finer points, I'm not a writer. I basically spend the time just hanging out with my friends and talking to other podcasters and learning from fine people like yourself.
Yep. So how often do you produce an episode?
That can vary wildly. Some weeks I may feel Herculean and put out like one episode at the beginning of the week, one episode a few days later. Some weeks I'm kind of a victim of Murphy's Law, aren't we all? After I got back from Katsucon, which is an anime convention in D.C., I, hopped off the metro train, and I had my laptop in my backpack. While I was walking to my car, backpack came open, laptop came open.
Oh, no.
So I had to take a break for about a few weeks. And then few years before that, again, an older computer just broke down.
Yep.
And it was bouncing around CompUSA's repair system for about 3 months.
Yep.
And they just, replaced one part that was that.
I always like to compare people's workflows. So how long is a typical episode for you?
A typical episode for me, and usually 40 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
Sometimes I go long, sometimes I go short. It depends on the content. It depends on what there's to talk about.
Yep. And so out of that 40 to 60 minutes of recording, how much time are you spending on things like editing, post-production, research, and everything like that?
It depends, on how much editing I need to do, how much was said that can't be said, how much we ramble. Some people joke that I don't edit because I keep in all the technical, quote-unquote, all of the technical difficulties. I don't. It's just I keep in the ones that are hilarious.
Yeah, you and I are actually from the same sort of school when it comes to that, because some of my mispronunciations, some of the Skype fail, some of the technical fail is actually that's what people like.
Well, I mean, I try to keep it stuff that's funny. I think episode 122, we had this issue where I forgot to hit record and call recorder. And right when I started hitting record, I said, oh, crap. And I stuck right at the end of episode 122, the minute and a half of me trying to tell them that the last 8 minutes didn't happen.
Well, I did an interview the other day for about 30 minutes, then when I looked down and, oh, no.
That has happened to me, and it sucks when it's convention setting because you try so hard to get an interview with somebody, and then it explodes on you. At conventions like Otakon, I stress myself out so much trying to get the interviews, and then something inevitably happens, or my recorder fails. Like, I was, learning the ropes on my Zoom H2, and it told me that the memory card was full. Nuh-uh.
Impossible,
nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Hate it when that happens.
And so, finally, who are you looking forward to meeting this weekend?
Well, thing is, I already know everybody who I'd want to meet, so, yeah.
Name some names.
The great T. Morris.
Yeah, excellent.
Yes. I've been hanging out with a lot of the webcomic guys, like Andy World, Nick Porkowitz, Marty Day, Jamie Baldwin, all the other, the awesome webcomic people down in the other end of the hallway here. And, it's, like I said, this is more of a tight... I go to this for the tight-knit community more than anything, for the fun new media track. It's a great place to go to, you know, learn stuff.
Yeah, to me it seems like more like a pod camp or something like that. So how can we find you on the interweb?
Well, you can go to rangecast.net. I'm also a writer for my college's campus paper. I do a tech column for them, so you can go, and a blog, so you can go to thetowerlight.com, click on blogs and click on Tyler Tech. I write some stuff there. It's mostly localized, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. And I'm not too hard to find on the web.
Twitter.
It's RSF, A-R-E-S-E-F. I'm all over the place, so check me out.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. And so we'll get you back to your next session. What are you going to say next?
Lunch. Is that a session?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to lunch.
I can recommend the chicken.
I'm vegetarian.
Oh, well, I can't recommend the chicken then.
I recommend the tofu.
I won't be eating the tofu. No worries. Thanks, Tyler.
All right, pleasure.
Available now on podiobooks.com.
Your childhood, from birth to age 14, never happened. Every memory from that time, every emotion, every dream, isn't yours. Your seemingly normal life has never been normal. You've been unwittingly playing a very important role in a very secret experiment. You are a clone, grown years ago in an underground facility. Your memories, a recording of someone else's childhood. And now, you've been ripped away from your so-called normal life. You and six other clones have been brought here, to your birthplace, by your creators. You've been assembled to stop the person behind the recent assassination of the U.S. president. Your target? The person you were cloned from. The original you. The Alpha you. Welcome to Seventh Son. Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent, is the new podcast thriller novel written by J.C. Hutchins. Follow John, Michael, Kilroy 2.0, and the other clones as they discover who they are and realize the president's murder was merely a prologue to their progenitor's plans. Join the descent. Find Seventh Son at jchutchins.net and at podiobooks.com.
We're here at BoulderCon 43. People are going to get sick of me saying that, but it's just the start of the episode, and I am with Dave Slusher. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What session was I out of yours last night?
It was called Amateur Means You Do It For Love.
And basically, what was all that about?
It was kind of my sort of cry in the wilderness about new media and kind of the value of new media. And kind of a different way of looking at it that starts kind of inside you and kind of works out to the rest of the world.
And so your basic theory was you're not doing it for the coin?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, if you were, not too many people are very successful.
Yeah.
If that were your success criteria. I go the other way and say that, you know, we're here at a convention full of people that love, you know, science fiction, they love art, and somehow or another, practically everyone that you see walking around these halls creates something.
Yeah.
Right? It makes them happy. It kind of edifies their life. And it's all part of the larger creative impulse, and it makes you a better person, and it makes you a more content person to have an outlet to create. And that's always... you know, I don't want people to lose that kind of sense of fun and the sense of power of creativity.
Now, up until last night, I hadn't heard of you,
mm-hmm.
but you absolutely were in on the ground floor of podcasting. How close to the ground floor, or how close to the front gate are you?
I started in August, I think August 22nd, 2004, something
hey,
like that.
Hey, that's my birthday, August 22nd.
It's somewhere around there. Could be a day, but either way, but it was very close to that time. So... I know for sure of four guys that were doing it before I started. There may be others. And there's also kind of a proto podcast period from guys that were doing like audio blogging on their phone kind of before some of the mechanism were solidified. So these guys were like the Uther Pendragons of the,
So who were the other four, and out of them, who was still around?
Adam Curry, Doug Kay of IT Conversations, Dave Weiner of Morning Coffee Notes, yep, and creator of RSS, and then Christopher Lydon was doing some interviews up around Boston in like early 2004 and publishing them with an actual what is now, yep, a podcast feed. Three of those four guys are still at it.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about your podcast.
It's really, I've been doing this almost 5 years. I don't have an elevator pitch. I haven't got around to that yet. It's kind of, it's a solo soliloquy type podcast. I talk a lot about culture, the technology of culture and the culture of technology. And, I do some interviews. I always play some music because to me it's no fun if you can't dance.
Yeah. So you're not after world domination?
Sure, I'm after world domination, just a very small world.
No, that's cool. How often do you produce an episode?
I have no set schedule. It has actually slipped to... I'm doing good to do monthly. There has been periods where I do it daily. I'll probably leave out of here with kind of the holy fire and maybe do some more episodes, yeah, in a shorter period. I organized a conference in Myrtle Beach kind of about creativity, and that ate much of my spring. So ironically, the idea of organizing a thing to help evangelize to people the power of blogging and podcasting meant I did a whole lot less of it.
It's always the way. The more popular you become and the busier you become, the less time you can do for things like podcasting. But how long would a typical episode of yours be?
Somewhere in the 30 to 40 minute range. That's pretty typical. 30 minutes, probably 40. They probably hover around 40 minutes.
And how much post-production and editing that I won't be doing do you do?
I do approximately zero. I do it basically live to tape. I sort of have worked out a procedure where everything that's playing the intro music, and I actually have a music bed, I do it all live to tape onto my Marantz. When, yep, I'm done, I have an audio file that I FTP up and I publish it. So, however long it takes to push, to tag it.
To push it up.
And push it up, that's how long it takes me to publish.
Awesome. You sound like my sort of man. How can we find you on the interweb?
EvilGeniusChronicles.org.
Twitter?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. Genio Diabolico. GenioDiabolico.
All right. Excellent. We'll have links to all that on the show notes. Thanks, Dave. Time to sign the Wall of Fame.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, man.
Fans of mystery and fantasy agree, Murder at Avedon Hill is just awesome. Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, author of the Parsec Award-winning Number One with a Bullet, says, "With Murder at Avedon Hill, P.G. Holyfield creates a mysterious world full of twists and creatures worth diving into. Head first." T. Morris, creator of the Billabub Baddings mysteries, notes, "P.G. Holyfield creates a realm rich in its culture and lore, and then shatters its sweet innocence with a murder that begs to be solved." Seth Harwood, author of the Jack Palms crime series, says, "P.G. Holyfield is one of the best podcast fiction writers out here. Listen to this book, and you'll never turn back." And Michael Spence of Brother Osric's Scriptorium sums it up this way, "If you enjoy the kind of hard-headed sleuthing practiced in a world without modern forensics, you'll like watching Aramis Cragen and his protege Aaron pursue their investigation in the intriguing and, thanks to a talented cast of voice artists, colorfully populated village of Avedon Hill. Avedon Hill has many secrets, and some of them have been revealed. But as an undead hunter's fears are vindicated, and as a family does everything in its power to protect its way of life, Greta Platt's killer remains a mystery. With Murder at Avedon Hill moving into its stretch run, now is the perfect time to try the finalist for Best Podcast Novel at the 2008 Fall Podcast Peer Awards. A story of fantasy and mystery, of magic and spirit, which author Scott Roche says owes as much to Agatha Christie as to J.R.R. Tolkien. Subscribe now at iTunes, through PodioBooks.com, or through the podcast website at pgholyfield.com. A killer is afoot. Divine powers walk across Cairn. And for the town of Avedon Hill, a battle hundreds of years in the making is coming to a head. Stop on by. You won't want to miss it when the children come out to play.
We'll get back to the interview shortly, and coming up you'll be hearing from such authors as T. Morris, J.C. Hutchins, P.G. Holyfield, and who knows who else as we go through Balticon. Now, there's so much happening. There's about five or six separate rooms that are being used at any one time for different things about social media, podcasting, writing and art. And then, of course, you also have common areas where people can meet up, including the hotel lobby. And they also have a hall full of different bits and pieces, including books, stickers, badges. You can get web comics drawn. You can get clothes for the masquerade ball, souvenirs, and who knows what else. So, actually, I'm going to... Hey, T.
Hey,
Eric. How you going, mate?
I'm doing good. I'm my hands are falling, actually. I got 6 minutes to get to a panel.
Well,
you... walk with me and talk about
it. All right, no worries.
All right, that's what we do as podcasters. We are mobile. We are mobile, aren't we?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we are. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Just for like, you know, I think a president should use that, you know, as a catchphrase.
I think so.
I think that's a brilliant idea. So what do you think of your time? I know you probably were going to interview me, but I'm going to interview you for a change.
Yeah, sure. I can interview you later when you've got a bit more time.
That too. So of all the things you've seen here at Balticon, what's the thing that made you go, only in America would I see something like that?
Some of the costumes, I would have to say, some of the girls especially are so way out there and interesting. A lot of our girls just simply wouldn't have the guts to pull it off.
See, that's the thing I love about geeky chicks, is that geeky chicks are hot and they're also smart. Like this person right here, she's probably hot and smart. I think she is. So there you go. And you know, and geeky
chicks for the win. Even though yes. I haven't met any single geeky chicks yet.
Yeah, that's the tricky bit. Usually, geeks are smart enough that they will grab up the B3s, as George Robb would call them. They would grab up the B3s immediately, and that's usually what. Yes, Scott, are you coming? Are you coming, sir? I'm going this way. Oh wait, no, I'm going this way.
Where are you going, T?
I'm in Derby. I'm so used to going to Chesapeake. But anyway,
Belmont,
so
next one up,
Belmont and Derby. Yes,
this is going to go down as a podcasting highlight.
But that's the problem with B3 chicks is usually
they're all taken.
They're all taken.
Exactly.
Oh, and it's frigid in here. Wow. So I'm gonna pass you back to the microphone.
All right, no worries. So thank you, T, and we'll be talking with you a bit later. Wow. Wow, that was unexpected. That was author and podcaster T. Morris. So I wasn't even going to talk to him until a bit later, but that was rather cool. Anywho, so we're going to go back to the other side of the hotel. T just basically walked me back to the room that I was already in. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go for a walk through the exhibition hall, see who we can find, and see what indeed we can see. As I was saying, we have about six or seven separate spaces running at the one time. And it is impossible to go to all the separate places. So going to these particular spaces will give us a bit more of an overview of what's going on and who's around. And of course, one of the things about these particular science fiction conventions, from what I can gather, is that people dress up in various interesting and unusual outfits. And in actual fact, I just passed someone dressed as a cop. Oh, hang on, I think he was a cop. Anywho, so we are in... basically, you might want to call it Merchandise and People Alley. And so there is a wide selection of things that you could possibly get. I could spend so much money. There's a magnet booth. Magnets seem to be very popular, as do stickers. And then, of course, we have all the freebies, all the promotional items that you can get. There's bookmarks, there's stickers, there's even some guy called Channel Irk who has his business cards there. Yes, I am basically out of merchandise. And of course, there's lots of different podcasters here and lots of people have their stuff out. There's even lots and lots of books for sale, which we'll get to having a look at as we go around the corner. And indeed, we won't. Oh, I did not think of that. This room is only open from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. And it is now 8 p.m. So indeed, we won't be going in there at all. Which is a bit of a shame because I have been in sessions for about the last 4 hours. And so I haven't had a chance to go to the dealer's room for quite some hours, but now that I have, it's closed. Let's continue. This is part Echo Romeo Kilo and part Irk Pod. Now, later on tonight, there's a masquerade ball, so there'll be lots of people dressing up in all sorts of various outfits. Now we're coming up to the administration areas for all the volunteers and people who are registering. We have people selling DVDs, Ninjas versus Zombies. Ninjas versus Zombies. It's fighty time. Hello. So who is going to win between the ninjas and the zombies?
Say that's up to you.
I don't know. No, it might be up to you.
my band says zombies.
My band says ninjas. Do we have to fight?
Yes.
Let's fight.
Let's fight.
Ow.
I don't think anyone won.
I guess we have to have a sequel now.
So what's the sequel going to be called? Ninjas versus Zombies 2?
I have to say that the sequel is being written and the title is secret unless you've seen the movie. If you've seen our movie, it sets itself up very, very well.
Oh, I haven't seen your movie. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves to Australia?
Sure. To our friends down under, my name is Daniel Ross.
And I'm Justin Tim Payne.
He is writer-director.
And he is star and producer.
And together...
We are the Wonder Twins.
I was going to say two guys selling DVDs.
We're two guys selling DVDs.
At the Balticon
at
number 43.
At the Balticon number 43.
In Hunt Valley.
A bucket of water, which one turns into a tiger?
The question is, which one of us turns into a bucket of water and which one turns into a tiger?
I turn into a Joey.
Which one was the girl?
Then I am the sponge in the bucket of water.
You're a SpongeBob, which would make me the what?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Krabby Patties.
Hello, SpongeBob.
And so, of course, because people love ninjas and people love zombies, how can we find you guys on the interweb?
You can find us at www.nvzmovie.com.
That's ninjas versus zombies.
N as in ninjas, V as in versus, Z as in zombies, and movie as in movie. nvzmovie.com.
Or for our Australian listeners, Z.
Is a giant monster attacking the abandoned warehouse district? Are you unsure if that spandex makes you look fat? Are you tired of having routine trips to the mall interrupted by giant walking bone monsters? Then we've got the show for you. RangerCast, the most morphin' omelin podcast on the web. We've got news, reviews, interviews, and mindless rants about hot topics in Power Rangers, Sentai, Tokusatsu, and more. Visit us online at RangerCast.net or find us on iTunes. See you there.
Alrighty, that was rather cool and impromptu and sort of was very interesting. Ninjas versus zombies. Interesting concept. So let's see who else we can find to annoy. That was very, very impromptu. And for some of you who may know me, that may actually surprise you how impromptu that was. Anywho, we're getting ready for the Masquerade Ball coming up. When is that on? Is it the wrong post? I don't know. Who cares? ErkPod is an Australian podcast. And that is my card. I actually do four separate podcasts, but I'm just walking around having a look and telling all my listeners about Balticon. Yes. Yes, yes, indeed. We've got more than one person in the Southern Hemisphere. Pip couldn't make it, so here I am.
Yeah, I know several fans down there. And I know a couple of them.
You may have actually traveled farther than I did.
Really? Where did you travel from?
Hainan Island, China.
Oh, wow. I think I have. That is really cool.
You two brothers will probably take the first and second battle.
The badge at the end of
adding. Although, well, I mean,
sure.
You may have actually just traveled here for a while. Yeah, I got
I've been here for a couple of months. Not that we're competing or anything, but no. Not of course. I'm going to check out the rather cool hangout spot. So this will be a part of the episode coming soon. So I will continue to move. I'm not really dressed up for it. Well. Oh well, I better zoom over. All right, well, I'll have a look for sure. It's going to be very interesting. Awesome. I'll be back. All righty. So the Masquerade Ball is coming soon to. Oh my God, that's the line. Oh my God, that is the line to get in for the Masquerade Ball and. We can see all these people's faces, which is a bit strange. Who's dressed up? Is anybody dressed up? Yeah, we've got a couple of people dressed up. So I will be back when this Masquerade Ball gets into full swing.
What?
I didn't hear what you said, my friend.
Don't worry about the Australian accent. It's all good.
Oh, where are you from?
Australia.
Where?
Sydney.
Bravo. My sister-in-law lives in Sydney.
Awesome.
I almost wore my wife went to the Sydney Bridge.
Yep.
And has the cap, but then I didn't wear it this time. Welcome.
Well.
Bravo. Good on you.
Thank you. Off we go. Off we go. Off we go. And I don't think I'm even on the right. Oh, yes, I am. I temporarily got. Okay, I've just been passed by a lady wearing a cat suit. Okie dokie. There's an art exhibition in there, but. I have a bulky item, so I'm not allowed in there. Let's go into what's this place called? The 24-hour consuite, which is basically the chill-out area of Balticon. And let me tell you, sometimes you need to be able to chill out and to have a seat and to sit down. So let's have a look. What we can see, and possibly more importantly, who we can see. Now, this place actually reminds me of a old diner that you'd see on Happy Days, although on a much larger scale. And I am going to change hands because I had my bag around my wrist, and that can't be good. So we're just going to have a bit of a walk around, see if we can see anyone. And one really cool thing about this place, apart from the fact that you can just sit down, hang out, have something to eat, have something to drink, is that they have an old car back here. So we're going to have a look at the old car. which is all behind these caution tape. But it's a rather cool old car, and it is a... Oh, man, I can't even tell what that is in the dark. But it's a red open-top convertible. It's a two-door. And obviously the steering wheel is on the left-hand side. But I'm not exactly sure what make this car is. But this place is a pretty cool place to be. Lots of comfortable seats where you can just chill out. And there is also a lot of parties. There's a lot of people who are actually staying here at Balticon, at the hotel, because it's being held in a hotel. So you can do what you have to do during the day. You can go to all your sessions, either as a... I was going to say a competitor, either as a presenter or a consumer. And at the end of the day, you can come to a place like this. In between sessions, you can come here and you can sit down. You can meet up with people. You never know who you might find. And you can wander out. But also, because there are people staying here, there's also parties that also run late at night. And so what people do who want to host a party is that they'll actually go up and they'll write their name and they'll write their room number down on a whiteboard. And anyone who has a ticket for the con can actually go to one of these parties. It's basically an open invitation. If you don't want anyone to come to your party, well, you don't tell people about it. You don't write it down. But if you want anyone to come to your party, well, you can write your name down and write your room number down, and there'll be heaps of people who will come out and come to your party. And actually, I'll be very shortly going to a social media party, and I think I'm going to have to drop into the masquerade ball just to see some of the costumes. And some of our interviews that are coming up will indeed be coming from the social media party. So that is going to be very, very interesting indeed. But until then, here's a promo from a certain podcast called Evo at 11. And we'll be chatting at some stage over the weekend with Evo Terra, who is, amongst other things, the co-founder of PodiaBooks.com and also the host of Evo at 11. And we'll be playing a promo for his podcast, and we'll be playing the earworm that has been stuck in my head all day because I watched a live episode of Evo at 11 last night.
Hi, this is PG Holyfield, creator and producer of the Murder at Avedon Hill podcast novel. Found at pghardyfield.com. And here's what I learned on last week's Evo at 11.
Bo Frazetta.
Frazetta.
My actually, grandfather's wasn't name that a character in Willow?
Frazetta. Bo Frazetta.
Wow.
I stole the baby from you, Daikini, while you were taking a pee-pee.
I stole the baby.
You know what? That movie was terrible. Let's not ring it up.
I love that movie.
Willow.
You cannot take my brain.
Please. What would I want with your brain?
I do want to kick off talking about our recurrent theme here on the show, and that's heroes. But I still can't get over the whole Frau Blücher thing that Peter Pacelli's mom is doing.
I am Paul Blücher.
Where little Buttercup's like, good God, that is straight from Young Frankenstein. She should stop.
Turns out you're the villain, Peter. I'm the hero.
And Speaking of Siler, this is the guy who can terrorize the entire planet, right? We've got to really knock him down. But you ask him real nicely, oh, okay, I'll go out and be, you know, Horn Rim Glasses guy's partner. Sure, why not?
The grandfather's work was doo-doo!
Diamondbacks have a guy on their team whose name is Fuck You Dome.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
Twitter.com/FuckYouDome. I'm so going to go take that. But I don't think Chalant or Gruntle are worth.
I don't think
you're
that,
right. That's
the idea.
That's the point.
Right, welcome to this topic. Right?
Hey, well, Jesus, I don't know.
We're in the bestiality business, dude. Hey, we like to call it interspecies erotic.
Donkey fucker.
You know, fuck you,
bestiality.
Domi actually works, I guess, for the...
I hope that donkey doesn't have a hiney troll.
Or use the voicemail line. Oh, no, wait, we don't have one.
And the final thing we learned on last week's Evo at 11...
I don't want to shit myself on Friday.
If you want more of this stuff, go to evoat11.com.
And I also watched a live episode of the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. And there have been other podcasters who have been doing live shows from here as well, which is quite cool in itself. And there is also a what they call a podcast track out of many of the podcasting sessions, which have been hilarious, I must say. That will be available very soon, and I'll put a link in the show notes, so you'll be able to find all of those podcasts, all of those episodes that have been produced. And even though I have been to many of these sessions before, or I know, for instance, what social media is, well, I'm still going to go to a talk called What is Social Media if there's someone talking like T. Morris or J.C. Hutchins or P.G. Holyfield or Scott Sigot. If those guys are going to be presenting things like this, even if it happens to be Podcasting 101, I, needless to say, don't get to see these guys every day. So to be in the same room as these guys and to be able to talk with them and ask them questions, and even on occasions share advice with other people who are in the room and find interview subjects. It's quite cool. So we'll be back very, very shortly.
In a world where evil supervillains run amok and corrupt superheroes care more about their hair than justice, one woman is caught in a web of manipulation. Keepsy Branson just wants to run her bar. She doesn't want to think about her old dreams of being a superhero or her tired ambitions to save the world. But the facts remain that Keepsy and her friends have powers too, and they will soon be needed as Seventh City falls into chaos, and no one knows who are the good guys and who are the bad. Playing for Keeps is a free audiobook from Mer Lafferty, available at playingforkeepsnovel.com.
Batman. Only at Balticon could you have a guy dressed as Batman playing the guitar doing a Batman theme tune as the sound check. That was quite cool.
Let's go!
Well, music's been a big part of Balticon for me tonight, because I've basically been rocking out, and we'll be hopefully chatting with a couple of guys from the front a bit later. But needless to say, it's really hard to actually chat with anyone at the moment because of the noise from the band, who have actually been told to tone it down by the local police. There's a pretty big police presence here, actually. I thought it was just people dressing like cops, but obviously not. So what we're going to do now is we're going to head downstairs again. A couple of hours have passed, and the masquerade ball should be in full swing. There's lots of people in various costumes, and indeed the band that I just saw were dressed up. One was dressed as Batman, and there's lots of people dressed up, and I am totally not dressed for a masquerade ball, but I'm going to do a quick lap anyway and just see what happens. So we're going to go down the escalator again. Now, I've never been to a masquerade ball, so this is going to be quite interesting. First of all, it's going to be interesting to see if I can actually get in. Hey, man. I am.
You're everywhere and you are nowhere.
That's it. I'm going to try and get into the masquerade ball. Ah. Really? Hello again, guys.
Beneath the streets of San Francisco, they are waiting, hoping you stay out a bit too late, to drink a bit too much, and stumble home alone. If fortune smiles upon you, they kill you where you stand. But if you're unlucky, they drag you down into the tunnels to meet their queen. Nocturnal is a free podcast-only audiobook from Scott Sigler, the creator of the sci-fi thriller Earthcore and the number one best-selling horror novel, Ancestor. Go ahead, get your scare on at scottsigler.net.
Hey, psst. Yeah, you. You're a discerning type. You like to be on the inside, I can tell. Have I got a deal for you. Now, you're familiar with Mer Lafferty's Heaven series, right? Two best friends travel the afterlife, disrupting mythology, checking out heavens and hells of different religions and species, even working on making a world of their own and screwing it up in the meantime. So yeah, you've heard it. That's why I'm talking to you. You know that she's currently writing the final installment, right? It's called War, and will feature all your favorite characters from the previous four installments. Let you explore the floating city of Meridian and discover who exactly is behind the siege on Heaven. But the podcast doesn't launch until June 1st. You hate waiting, don't you? What would you do if I said you could go to heavennovel.com right now and sign up to get the book as Mer is writing it? You can get access to a secret Twitter feed where she talks about the work in progress. You can get the text via blog or PDF. And when the audio podcast launches, you will get it earlier than everyone else does. Also, if you're going to be at Balticon, Origins, Worldcon, or DragonCon this year, Mer is hosting coffee meetings to hang out and discuss Heaven, War, or whatever you like with the author herself. You can get all of this for $4.99, less than the cost of a paperback. So go to heavennovel.com right now, register for the site, and get the inside story.
Welcome back to Balticon 43. It's now Sunday morning, and we are here with the author and podcaster, Christiane Ellis. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And what does an event like Balticon mean for you?
Well, you know, my first Balticon was 2 years ago, and at that time, I didn't have anything published. I was still even pretty new to the podcast community.
Yeah.
But suddenly coming here and meeting people that I knew only from online, or people that I hadn't even met or communicated with in any way except for hearing their voice in my ears,
yep.
It was just this astounding experience, and I felt the community in a very real way that I had never felt before. And so being able to put a face to the voices that I heard, the names that I knew, and just the sense of, you know, friendship and welcoming, and it's just, it's really, it was kind of transcendent even, and just ever since then, I've really just loved that. But what it's also just a good opportunity to do is allow people to put my face to my name.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, today is a very important day for you, because in front of me, the listeners can't see, but we have your new book.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us a bit about it?
Nina Kimberly the Merciless is a comedic fantasy novel. It is about Nina, who is the teenage daughter of a fearsome barbarian conqueror. His name is Marcus the Merciless.
Yep.
Therefore, she is Nina Kimberly the Merciless.
Yep.
And she is long desired a quest of her own, but she feels like it's taking its time coming to her, so she's going to go find a quest of... she's going to go find it.
So,
time to get proactive.
So where did you come up with the idea? How did you come up with it?
The very first line of the book came to me just independently of anything else. And the first line is...
Is that a spoiler? Oh, you probably know the first line without even look. I was going to look at it.
I don't even have to look. Nina blushed, then cut the man's head off.
Wow. That's a strong opening line.
Well, you know, I had that line, and that line all by itself inspired the whole rest of the novel. Because I really didn't have any... The truth is, I was more surprised than anyone to discover myself writing a fantasy novel, because it's actually not what I usually read. I've read some of it and I enjoy it, but it's just most of what I had written was not that. It was more like science fiction.
So what do you normally read?
Well, I read a lot of science fiction, but I read a lot of... a little of everything, you know, some just like classic literature, some nonfiction. I read a lot of science books, in particular about like neurology and psychology. I love that stuff. Yeah. I don't have any training in it, but just it's interesting.
That's an interest. How long did it take you to write the book?
The first chapter all by itself took a little bit longer because I'd never written anything novel length before, and so it was a little bit intimidating. But I got through that probably 6 months before I had a draft where I felt like it was good enough to sort of proceed with.
Yeah.
From there, I got another chapter, and then it kind of sat for a long time, actually. And then when I started writing on it seriously again, which was about 6 months after that, it took about another year to finish it completely.
So when you started, you had no idea what was going to happen in the end?
Well, you know, the whole writing of the book was really sort of my own way of finding out, okay, well, who is Nina and what's her deal? And so I really didn't know. I mean, by the time I was like halfway through, I had a pretty good idea of where the story was ultimately going. But I really didn't outline anything out ahead of time.
So do you carry like pen and paper just in case you get inspired some way?
I do sometimes, although what happens more often than not is that I say, oh, great, I have a great idea. I wish I had pen and paper with me.
Yeah.
And then I forget.
Do you find that you have to sit yourself down and whack out some words each day?
You know, I don't always end up making it happen every single day, but the truth is that lots of times it's easy to sort of make it almost like it's this mystical thing that you have to be inspired.
Yeah.
And the truth is that if you're sort of waiting to be inspired, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
And whereas, on the other hand, you know, muses help those who help themselves.
Yeah.
Inspiration is a lot easier if you're sitting there already typing.
Yeah. And of course, that's not all you do. You also podcast as well. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I started my very first podcast in the fall of 2005. It was called Christiana Talks About Stuff.
Yes, I remember hearing about that. That was a while ago now.
So the title is fairly straightforward.
Yeah.
It's actually since been renamed to Talking About Stuff, because I always do it with a co-host, an old friend of mine, and I didn't want to be continuing to belittle his participation in that conversation. But with Talking About Stuff, that also branched out to talking about Survivor, because we are both big fans of that show.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing a podcast about like everything that I was ever doing. But in March of 2006, I finally decided to move forward with something I'd wanted to do but was afraid for a while, which was to do audio versions of my fiction.
Yeah.
And at that time, my book was just sitting on the virtual shelf. I hadn't done anything with it for a while. It wasn't sent out to anybody. I didn't know what to do with it. And it just seemed like it would be fun to do a podcast version, and so I did.
So how many books have you got out on podcast? Just Nina?
Nina is the only novel.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of short stories, but my other second biggest project, I suppose, is Space Casey, which is a 10-part audio drama miniseries. Yep. That's science fiction based, but still comedic, about a con artist who steals the wrong spaceship. But then I also have just recently finished up doing a year's worth of a daily podcast called Christiana's Shallow Thoughts.
Yes, I do listen to that one, and I did go down the daily path myself and stopped after about 5 months. So
it's rough. It's a rough road to follow.
Yeah. You know, especially if you're at events like this, you know, if you're traveling like I am, you have to watch, you know, I'm doing Twitter 365.
Yeah.
At the moment, so you know that's been fairly interesting as well.
Yeah.
So you produce all your own podcasts?
Yes, I do all of the production and audio myself, and I know a lot of other podcasters, especially podcast novelists, are starting to outsource some of the editorial work because it is kind of drudgery and it, you know, saves a lot of time. I'm not sure I'm ready to make that step yet because I'm just a little bit too, I guess, possessive of the final edit. I feel like I want to do it myself.
Now, are you the sort of person that just reads the book yourself, or are you one of these people like T who's sitting next to us and gets millions of voices?
Well, you know, a little bit of both, because with Nina Kimberly the Merciless, both the original one and the remastered version that I'm doing now, I do the voices myself. So I do voices, but I do all of them. I don't have other actors.
Do you do male voices as well?
Yes. In fact, I have King Francis who talks like this. And I don't know, William I sometimes have to work into. I can't just do it on the spot. But so I do the male voices, and I don't know that they're necessarily 100% convincing as male, but if at least they are distinct from the other characters and people kind of buy it, then I think it works.
Because that, to me, is very interesting, because you get some people, like Merle Lafferty, who will just read her stuff herself. And to me, that's fine. Because, and then you get other people who are really heavily into the production elements, like T, and he'll have all the different voices, that's fine. And then you'll have the highly produced people who do it themselves, like Scott Sigler, and, you know, it's all good. If we were doing all the same, you know, if we were all doing the major productions with all the major voices, well...
Right, well, I think for me it comes down to the needs of each individual story. For example, that's what I did for Nina Kimberly, but for Space Casey, that one was written from the ground up as an audio drama. And so I did get a full cast of actors to do all of the characters for that one. I did a lot of music and effects and production. The original version of Nina had more music and effects also, but only one guest voice, which was actually T. Morris, who's sitting to my left here, was the only guest voice in that first version. And I think different stories are suited to different types of production. For example, I have a sci-fi novel that's nearly finished. When I get around to podcasting that one, probably I'm not going to do a full cast, but I'm also going to tone down doing the sort of wacky character voices because it's a more serious story.
Yeah. So for a regular episode of something like Nina, how long would an episode be for you?
In terms of total production time?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, how long is an episode, and then how long do you put into it?
Oh, okay. Well, the new remastered version of Nina that I'm doing to sort of celebrate and coincide with the print release, I'm going with slightly longer episodes.
Yeah.
I'm doing two chapters each one, and so generally they're about an hour long. The previous ones had been one chapter at a time, so they were about half an hour on average. But in terms of production time, this time around, I'm doing it more like a traditional audiobook where it's, you know, no extra music, no extra effects. It's just me doing the read-through, although I'm still doing character voices.
Yeah.
but the actual recording time will usually be about an hour and a half, but yeah. then it's several hours worth of editing out all of the flubbed lines and so
yeah.
on.
Yeah, are you one of these people who record in a closet?
Not in a closet for me, because I happen to have an apartment with high ceilings, and just the shape of the room is such that I get pretty good acoustics just right in the middle of my yeah. living room. But at the same time, I do take lots of extra steps. For example, I turn off the air conditioner.
Yep.
I flip the breaker on my refrigerator so that it doesn't make its cycling noise in the yep. middle. I live near an airport, and so pretty much, you know, every hour and a half recording session has about 10 minutes of barely audible airplane noise and me cursing a lot.
Yeah, which doesn't really fit into the story always.
Right, yeah.
So, and of course, apart from all that, if that's not enough, you've also been a guest voice on other podcasts, like
yes.
the guy sitting next
yeah.
to us.
Yeah, so Moravi Remastered, I played Alluniar. I've also played Fiona in Metamore City, Caroline in MERS, The Takeover. Wow, I don't even think I could list them all yeah. off the top of my head.
So do you find that people are after you just for your normal voice, or are they looking for something different?
Well, I think... Yeah, I usually don't get a lot of direction specifically as to what kind of voice they want, per se. T actually asked for a specific kind of voice for Alluniar, but generally speaking, they just describe the character and they kind of leave it to me to decide what the voice should sound like.
Yeah. Awesome. So how can we find you on the interwebs?
ChristianaEllis.com.
And, of course, one thing that I have to ask, how good is it to see the book physically in front of you? You got the launch tonight. How good is it to actually see the cover? And
it's pretty awesome. I mean, it still doesn't even feel completely real yet. It's you feel like, you know, I'm being punked or something. Someone's gonna, you know, come in with a camera and say, "Ha ha, it was just a trick."
A rather expensive trip, but
well, yeah, I was gonna yeah. say, you know what, you know, that whatever show this is has pretty high production values.
You know, when are they gonna come in and?
Yeah.
That's all good.
And then I just got to think, okay, how can I use my fame from being on this punk show to negotiate an actual deal?
Yeah. So good luck with the book launch tonight. Good luck with the book. And we'll have to have you on for an extended chat.
Absolutely.
At a later stage.
All right.
All right. That was Christiana Ellis. And we'll be back with someone else very shortly.
In the Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy, author J.C. Hutchins sent you underground to a secret human cloning factory. You clawed your way to the surface. You survived. Prepare to head into hell again. Welcome to Brinkvale Psychiatric Hospital, the setting for Hutchins' next novel, the supernatural thriller, Personal Effects. Dark Art. It's a rotten place with a bloody history. 9 stories of howling madness built inside an abandoned brownstone quarry. Locals call it the Brink. And now, J.C. Hutchins and creator Jordan Weissman are opening the doors of their bloody creation before the book's June bookstore debut. But you're not getting a guided tour of the Brink. You're being committed. Become a part of publishing history by admitting yourself to the Brink and becoming a patient of art therapist Zach Taylor. Inject yourself into the personal effects universe. Create a patient profile. Receive your admittance papers. Contribute artwork. And earn the insanely cool privilege to appear on Brinkvale Psychiatric's official website. Find your first art assignment now at jchutchins.net/thebrink. Fill out your patient paperwork, submit your art, and come back for more assignments. Get creative. Get crazy. Get committed. Go to jchutchins.net/thebrink for more information. Or visit jchutchins.net/personal effects to learn more about the book, coming this June.
This brings us to the end of episode 203. I hope you enjoyed it. Now sit back, relax, and then you can enjoy episode 204. Episode 204 continues at Balticon, and we have a who's who of podcasting fiction and podcasting, including T. Morris, Evo Terra, Mo Lafferty, J.C. Hutchins, P.G. Holyfield, Scott Sigler, and who knows what else. Thank you to all the interviewees for part one, and until next time, episode 204 on the Balticon special that never ends, I'm Erk. Check me out at channelerk.com. Good night, interweb.